Forgiving Others, Part 4. Now, it's possible to believe that we are a forgiving person, but in reality, we're not. And the difference between what we think we are and what we actually are doesn't come sometimes from self-denial, but comes from the fact that we don't have the ability to recognize unforgiveness. So as a result, we're experiencing all the ugly fruit of unforgiveness in our life, and we think, well, this is just kind of normal. Isn't this how life is? As a result, we have normalized dysfunction. But God has something better. And so what we're going to do is go through a checklist, signs of potential unforgiveness in our life, because you can't change what you do not acknowledge. Before we go through the checklist, there's a couple useful things to know about unforgiveness. Unforgiveness has nothing to do with what another person has done to us, and everything to do with our response to them. So going through this checklist is not about blaming, it's about taming. Taming our passions, taming our anger, taming our resentment, and bringing it to the mercy of God for healing and wholeness. Because what is unforgiveness? It is a sinful response to another person's sin. So it's our sinful response to a terrible thing that someone has done to us. So what this checklist does is doesn't give us the power to point the finger at people and beat them down and give us ammunition for that. No, it's about looking at our response so that we could love the way God wants us to love. So that being said, here we go. Checklist. Signs and symptoms of unforgiveness. Number one, do you have strong negative emotional reactions towards certain people when you think about past events? If so, why? Because remember, what does Jesus promises? Jesus promises peace. So if we are experiencing the opposite of that, when we go back to certain memories, then those memories need healing. They need grace. They need freedom. So that's just a possible sign and symptom that we're stuck in unforgiveness. It also indicates that we need healing. So who are you? Who's in those memories? What's going on? Identify what you might need to forgive. Number two, does the stress of remembering hurtful events trigger physical reactions and discomforts? So maybe your mind goes back to a hurtful event in the past, and what happens in your body is that your heart just starts going, breathing. Maybe you got ulcers on the extreme side, or tension carried in your back. That's me. I carry a lot of my tension in my back. If we visit those memories and we have physical reactions, maybe it's not an emotional reaction, but a physical reaction in our body when we think back to an event, why? Again, Jesus promises peace. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. So that's an indication that maybe we're stuck in unforgiveness. Number three, do you imagine yourself getting even with those who have wronged you? Now, maybe you're thinking, Ken, like, isn't it normal to want to desire revenge and get even with those who have wronged us? Well, to our fallen nature, it's very easy to go there. But what's the standard? Not our fallen nature right here. It's the grace level. And who's there? Jesus. Ask yourself the question, when Jesus was on the cross, was he hanging there thinking, how am I going to get even with the people who crucified me? No. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. His heart was seeking restoration, not revenge. And so if we're desiring and struggling with thoughts of revenge, it's a clear indication we're stuck. And God has something better for us. Do you rehearse speeches in your mind directed at those you are angry with? I do. But of course, I'm not going to say it, because I'm going to go to the grace level and I'm just going to rehearse it in my mind, thinking I'm doing something a lot better. I mean, I suppose not going off on somebody verbally is better and withholding the words. But if we're rehearsing speeches in our mind directed at those we're angry with, again, why? Jesus says, I have peace for you. He's the standard, not the rest of the world. And so when we look at Jesus, how does he love? Once again, upon that cross, he's not rehearsing speeches in his mind directed at the soldiers who just crucified him or us who played a part in his passion. No, again, he's seeking not revenge, but restoration. And Jesus is always seeking to communicate blessing, not cursing us. It's a blessing he wants to put into our life. Next one, do you lie awake at night with memories of injury? Are you getting the picture that living in unforgiveness is kind of tough? It's not very fun, is it? It's hard living. Now, forgiveness is going to be hard, right? It's going to take a lot of work. It's not going to be easy, but I'm going to tell you something. It's going to cost you more if you don't. So it's going to cost either way, but it might as well cost on the plus side rather than on the negative. Our pain might as well lead us to Christ than away from him. Because sometimes we can't get away from the pain, but we can determine how we use it. Do you give certain people the silent treatment? Now, that happens to be my favorite one. This is a weakness for me. What's the silent treatment? It's a passive-aggressive form of revenge. The whole reason we give somebody the silent treatment is so they know they are getting the silent treatment. If they don't know they're getting the silent treatment, then we think we're wasting the silent treatment. That we want to make sure they know that they're being cut out, right? And that's not love. That's revenge. Because Jesus is not about cutting us out of his life. In fact, he wants to draw us up into his life by the power of grace. And remember, he's the standard. The standard is not the rest of the world. Grace level. Jesus is the standard who wants to draw us up into communion with himself. And remember, we crucified him through our sin. And he wants a relationship with us. Now, I want to say that forgiving other people doesn't mean that we go back to how things used to be. Depending on what has happened, sometimes that's not possible, sometimes that's not prudent, especially when there's been a serious sin committed against us, when it raises to the level of maybe a crime. Trust is earned, my friends. So forgiving another person doesn't always mean that you got to trust them in the same way. But we would hope that we could somehow have some sort of reconciliation, even though it might not be exactly the way it used to be. And last one, can you sincerely pray for the best to happen to the people who have hurt you? Can you pray this kind of prayer for those who have hurt you? God bless them with every spiritual blessing that you have blessed me with, but multiplied by 1,000. So long as this prayer doesn't hurt my own salvation. I have found that the more that we're able to sincerely pray for the good of those who have hurt us, the softer our hearts become. That enables us to actually choose to forgive and also experience healing. I don't want to go too much more into this point, but I just want to say this has really helped me. So now that we've gone through this checklist, maybe you have some people in mind right now you need to forgive. I'd encourage you, write these names down now and take a moment of prayer and tell Jesus you forgive them. Make a choice. In a future video, we'll go through a deeper forgiveness exercise. So keep that list of names. But for now, if you have people in mind, don't let this grace moment pass you by. Write their names down now and tell Jesus you forgive them.